as you're coming in, if you have a Bible, hopefully you do, maybe not on your phone, it's kind of being more popular on your phone, you can turn to Luke 2. We'll be there in just a moment. Luke 2, 25 is where we'll catch up here in a few minutes. But well, we saw our kids up here earlier doing their song, and they'll be joining us later on, like I said, before the candlelight. But many of us here have had kids and or have children. Mine are, I have two of them here today, which is always good, and hopefully see the other one real soon. But it's interesting when you think about Christmas. Kids, you know, it's always fun when they're younger, isn't it? It's so much fun. You know, there's a little girl, true story, Nancy Dugan was nearly 4 years old as Christmas drew near. And her parents, and she had four older siblings, all tried to prepare Nancy for Christmas. And they tried to explain to her that Christmas is more than just the presents. And they explained how Mary, a woman named Mary and a man named Joseph, they had a little baby named Jesus. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. That's the real meaning of Christmas, is the baby Jesus. Well, Christmas went by, and Nancy had a wonderful Christmas. Of course, lots of presents and toys and stuff like that. But a few days later, she was talking to one of her older sisters and telling her what a great Christmas she had. She had so much fun. And she said, I sure hope Mary and Joseph have another baby next year so we can do this again. But the truth is, there's only one Jesus, right? Actually, Mary and Joseph did go on to have more children. But there's something about Jesus, isn't it? There's only one Jesus, and he's changed a lot of lives, including mine, and I know including many of you. You know, every December, what do? We come and we remember, and many of us even we celebrate the birth of this one named Jesus, a story, a person who has literally changed history, if you think about it, and has literally changed many of our lives. One person he changed was Pat. I knew Pat. Pat was a successful businessman, had a lot going for him, very successful businessman. And he had all the things that success brings with it, you know. He had a lot of toys, adult, you know, kind of boats and RVs and big house and all that good stuff that sometimes you can have. And yet as he was enjoying this stuff, he was missing something. Inside, there was something missing. And he admitted that. He said, you know, I'm missing something. And he met this pastor. And it wasn't me, don't worry. But he met this pastor and got to know him, became friends with him, actually started having coffee with him and started asking questions of faith, started asking questions about God. And as he listened and as he continued to have these conversations, the Lord began to speak to his heart. After much searching and many questions, Pat came to realize his need for forgiveness, of his need for peace in his life, of his need ultimately for salvation, this word we call salvation, that he needed to be saved. And then he did something amazing, especially in his mind for himself, is he decided to receive Jesus Christ, to ask Christ to come into his life, to forgive him of his sins, and he would follow him. And Pat's life was changed. It was radically changed in many ways. And yet he was still the same in many ways as well. You know, a couple years later, after becoming a Christian, he was invited to go on a trip over to Russia. You see, Pat had grown up in a Russian family. His parents were Russian. Matter of fact, he spoke Russian. His parents spoke Russian when he was growing up. And so it just seemed natural to go over there as he was invited. And he went over to Russia to work specifically in a number of orphanages. And I've been to Russia. I've been to these orphanages that I'm talking about. And they're very poor. And there's not very much. They're government-run orphanages. Not like a lot of ours here that, you know, people really put a lot into it. I mean, it's pretty scarce there. And as he went there, his heart was broken for these kids. And he invested much of who he was and of what he had to help these orphans there in Russia. You see, his life was changed forever. He began to not only have a peace in his life. Life wasn't always easy, but he had a peace. But now he also had a purpose of loving God and even a purpose of serving people on the other side of the world. He realized there was more than just the material success that he had of this American culture. Another man that I know, another couple that I know, is kind of like some families that where the wife goes to church, but the husband stays home on Sundays. And, you know, they had children, and, you know, the kids and the wife would go to church, but he's like, you know, I don't need church. And church is for women and for children, and, you know, it's not something I need. I mean, I believe in God, and that's enough. And besides that, I wouldn't feel comfortable at church anyway. They're kind of snobby and tight and, you know, all that stuff. But you know what? His wife continued to pray for him. Day after day, week after week, year after year, she would pray for him. And she would, of course, invite him to church. And one time he decided to come to church. Probably, actually, I don't know when it was exactly, but it was probably a day like today maybe. It was maybe a Christmas holiday or maybe it was Easter. I don't know. But he came to church for really the first time. And as he came to church, he walked in kind of intimidated. You know, okay, I'm coming with my wife. I'm going to please her and make her happy. And as he came in, people welcomed him. And as he looked around, he was kind of surprised how friendly people were. And they weren't like, you know, they weren't stuffy. And, you know, there wasn't all this smoke going everywhere that he thought was, you know, other than the candles that blew out. No. But it's interesting. He sat down and he began to listen to the message. And, you know, he thought he'd just hear about Jesus, a nice little, you know, nice little children's story or something like that, and, you know, go and leave. But as he listened, he began to hear about this real person named Jesus and how Jesus actually loved him and desired a relationship with him. He'd never heard that before. And he listened to the message. He realized that Jesus came to have a relationship with him. And because God loved him and desired for him to have true forgiveness, and he knew that he needed forgiveness, as, you know, he'd done some things just like all of us that weren't very good. And that morning, God spoke to his heart. And his life was changed. Not all at once. It wasn't just like, oh, all of a sudden he's a different person. But just that day and then the next day and then the next week, just day by day, his life began to change as he began to listen to God in his life, as he came to accept Christ in his life. See, this man was not only a father, he was a little bit older, he was also a grandfather. And his kids and his grandkids saw an amazing change in his life. He was different from many of the things that he had done before. The faith, the peace, the purpose that God had given to him because he allowed God to speak to his heart that first Sunday. You know, for some of you who've been here, regular part of our church, we've been the last 6 weeks or so, we've been talking about how we believe, the Bible teaches, that we can hear God. You're thinking, oh, great, I came to a crazy church. They're hearing God, you know, they're seeing God. You know what? Most of us have said, I've never heard audibly God, but we've learned over these 6 weeks the different ways that God speaks to us, that we can hear him, first of all, through the Holy Spirit, through the Spirit of God speaking in a still, small voice to our spirit. Many of you have probably heard his voice that way. He speaks to us through what he calls the Word of God, through the Bible. He's given us his Word. He's given us who he is, his character, things he calls us to do. He speaks to us through other people many times. And sometimes he also speaks to us through circumstances. And those are just a few of the ways that God speaks to us. Well, on this Christmas Sunday, I want us to see the life of a not too well-known person of the Christmas story. We don't talk about him a lot. But it's someone who not only heard from God, he also was used by God to speak to Mary and Joseph. His name is Simeon. And not only did he speak to Mary and Joseph, but I believe that he can speak to us today, that God can, if we listen, use him, his story, to speak to our hearts as well. So let's watch a video. It's actually a movie. It was one of my favorites. It's been around for a while, but it's called Jesus of Nazareth. I think it's a really good literal, you know, kind of showing what was really happening during that time. So let's meet Simeon for a few moments here. Let's look at Luke chapter 2. We saw it there in the movie. Let's see in Luke chapter 2, verse 25 to 27. It says, now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon. He was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required. You know, as we meet Simeon, we see here from the first couple verses there, he lived a life of devotion. It says that he was righteous. It's interesting, this word righteous is used of Mary and Joseph, of Zechariah and Elizabeth. If you go back and read the Christmas story, each one of them, it says about them that they were righteous. What does that mean? It means they were right before God. They weren't perfect, but they were right. They were committed to following God. They were committed to following his commands with his help. I find it enlightening that God used those who were in right relationship with him in the Christmas story to bring about the message of Christmas. And you know what? I believe that God does the same thing even today, that God uses people who are right with him to show Christ's love. I hope that's you. Simeon also is interesting. He uses a word we don't use a lot, devout. We sometimes use that word, devout. What does it mean? That he reveres God. That God had an impact on his life that changed his choices, that changed the way that he lived. You see, Simeon wasn't a priest. He wasn't a religious leader. He was just a godly man. But he was devout. He was committed. He wanted to follow God. And God touched his life and used him. It says that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That's an interesting phrase. This is referring to the expectation, the waiting for the Messiah, for the Christ. By the way, just for Messiah and Christ are the same words. One is Hebrew Messiah, the other Christ is Greek. That's why we call Jesus the Christ. They're waiting for this Redeemer, this one who would come and deliver them. Another word for consolation is also comfort. We could put that word in there as well. And so the expectation of this one that will bring Israel comfort, that will bring them consolation, is found throughout the Old Testament. Let me just share a couple of these passages. They're both from Isaiah, Isaiah 52, 7 through 9. It says this. It's the Old Testament, by the way. It might sound New Testament. But it says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. I think we sang about that earlier. Who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, you watchmen, lift up your voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, or Jerusalem, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people and he has redeemed Jerusalem. And Isaiah 66, 13, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the capital, right, of Judaism, the capital for God's people. For hundreds of years, literally hundreds of years, even thousand years, Jewish people were waiting for one who would come, who would bring comfort, who would bring peace, who would fulfill the promises of the Messiah that are throughout the Old Testament. See, they believe what few others believe, is that this Messiah would come to save them. They had hope. They had the hope of a mercy, of a grace, that God would keep his promises to them. That God would keep his promises. And Simeon believed this too. And you know what's interesting? We have, for those of us who are followers of Jesus, followers of Christ, call ourselves Christians, we have the same kind of hope, the same kind of consolation, the same kind of comfort that God promised that God has, and that is that Jesus promised and said he is coming back again. Do you know that? He didn't just come once, he said he's coming back again. And so those of us who are believers, we have that consolation, that comfort, that hope that Jesus will come once again. You know, lives like that and lives like Simeon's are not in kind of vogue today. You know, the 21st century person, many of them don't need God. I don't need God, or so we think. We don't even need others. I can do it all on my own. I'm going to work hard and do what I get. Whatever I get, I deserve. Too many people are self-sufficient and have no need for God. But it's interesting, Simeon's life had been changed by knowing God. And something amazing happened to Simeon. Something that we talked about last 6 weeks is that God spoke to Simeon. Now, I don't think that, I maybe did, I don't think he heard an audible voice. I think the Holy Spirit spoke to him. Matter of fact, it says there, even later on, the Holy Spirit spoke to him. But he heard from the Lord, and it was revealed to him somehow that he would not die until he saw this promise fulfilled, until he saw the coming of the Messiah. That's crazy. I don't know. It shows him here as older. We don't really know how old he was. It's interesting. You know, I wonder how long he had to wait after he heard that message. Was it days? Was it weeks? Was it months? Was it literally years? And to see a child, or more likely did he think that he was going to see a man with an entourage coming as the king? We don't know the answers to that, but it's interesting to speculate. Something we do know is that the Holy Spirit was upon him. The Holy Spirit orchestrated this meeting between Simeon and this baby, Jesus. And at that meeting, something amazing was revealed. Look with me at Luke 2:28-33. Simeon took him, Jesus, in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. God revealed to Simeon that God's salvation had arrived. That God's salvation had arrived. And the salvation was in a person. Jesus. Simeon is holding in his arms and seeing with his eyes salvation. God said salvation has come to earth. The one to whom God would save his people. You know, the truth is most of us, all of us, I'm going to guess, all of us have heard the Christmas story numerous times, right? And quite honestly, many of us, maybe we don't say this out loud, but maybe inside we think, what's the big deal? You know, I mean, it's a nice little story about a baby, and it's sentimental, and they couldn't find a place to stay. They found one, and she had a baby. Isn't it good enough just to come to church on Christmas and maybe Easter and be a good person and believe in God? Isn't that enough? Well, you know, if you look at the rest of Jesus' life, you see that Jesus didn't come to make us religious. He didn't come so that we just come to church on Christmas or Easter or even to believe in God. But rather, he came because he knew that we needed to be freed, that you and I need help. We need rescuing. That's interesting. We use that word salvation, saving. I don't know if any of you have had a near-death experience. I don't think I've never really had one, but I know people had, who literally needed saving of their life. They needed a savior, whether that was a paramedic or a fireman or a policeman or just a stranger that came along. They needed to be saved. And that's why Jesus came. You know, so many of us think that we can live life just on our own and hope for the best at the end. That we don't have to live for God. We don't have to worship God. You know what that's called? It's called sin. Not a real popular word these days, although we see it all around us, certainly on TV. And yet it's interesting, this sin, the Bible says, is what has separated us from being able to continue or to have a relationship with God. It's what separated us from God right now, and what will continue to separate us from God if we don't get right with him, if we aren't rescued. We'll continue to be separated from God forever in a place that the Bible calls hell. Again, another topic we don't really like hearing about, but as real as heaven is, so is the reality of a place separated from God called hell. But Jesus came to provide a way back to God. That's the whole message of the Christmas story, right? To provide us salvation. See, salvation is in a person. It's not in what you do, how religious you are, how much you give, or how much, whether it's money or time. But rather, it's a gift. That's why we give gifts during Christmas. I'm just curious, a little survey here. How many of you give, for the most part, you give most of your gifts on Christmas Eve? Who are Christmas Evers? Any Christmas Evers? Okay. How many more? Christmas morning. How many of you are just a Scrooge and don't give it all? No, why do we give gifts? Because the greatest gift was given, Jesus. A gift, if received, the gift is when Jesus died on the cross for our sins, to offer us, to give us the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. And the amazing thing we see from Simeon, he says, it's for all peoples. For all kinds of people. We kind of saw one today. We've all seen a Christmas play, right, with our kids, or we've been somewhere, we've seen the Christmas play. And there was one particular Christmas play that was happening, and the highlight and the culmination of the play was to be where all the lights would go out except for the one and the manger. And the manger would light up bright, and there would be the baby Jesus, and you know, angels would sing or whatever. Ah! Well, everything was going just perfect, and all of a sudden, right at the time, all the lights went out. And finally, one of the shepherds whispered out of the stage, "Hey, you turned off Jesus too!" Quickly turn on the light. You know, many people during Christmas have turned off the light on Jesus as well, haven't they? But the truth is Jesus' light will not be turned off. He is a light. Interesting, he says he's a light to the Gentiles, Simeon says. God is fulfilling his promise from hundreds of years before, again in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6. Look what it says. He says, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant." He's talking about the Messiah. "For you to be my servant to restore only the tribes of Jacob and to bring back those of Israel I've kept." Yes, he's going to bring those back, but I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. Now, most of us here are Gentiles. There may be a few of you, maybe there's a few that come from Jewish heritage, and maybe you're Jewish. But for the majority of us, I guess, I'm assuming, we are Gentiles. And it's interesting, it says the light was brought not just for the Jew, but for the Gentile. The light Jesus brought to you and me is the true knowledge of who God is and of his plan for us. He brought this light into a darkness that is deep. And the darkness is, we all know it, because we all experience in our own lives the darkness of our own sin, of our own selfishness and all that stuff. He brought light. God's salvation, interesting, is for everyone. No, not every single person is going to receive. It's, when he's talking about everyone, he's talking about all kinds of people. All kinds of nations, no matter what nation you were for. But first of all, he says that salvation was also for the glory of Israel. God had blessed Israel above all nations. Why? He chose them to spread the truth of who he was and of his light to all nations. Now, unfortunately, they didn't do a very good job. And God knew that. But his ultimate plan was through Jesus. That's why Jesus had to be born of Jewish heritage. That's why he had to be of the lineage of David and Abraham, because of those promises. It would now happen. This light would now come through this baby, this person named Jesus. He was the fulfillment and the glory of the promises of God that he gave to Israel, as well as ultimately to all people. God's salvation had arrived, first for the Jew, but also for the Gentile. And it's interesting, as Joseph and Mary heard that, it says that they marvel, they wonder, they're like, what? What's going on? It's truly amazing news. It was amazing news then, and it's just as amazing over 2,000 years later. It's still just as amazing news for us today. And we see that Simeon's life, his life was changed by this baby. I don't think Simeon lived to see 33 years later what Jesus did. But it's interesting. He says he now knows the peace of God. Look at verse 29 again. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. In peace. Simeon was holding the Prince of Peace. He was ready to die. He was ready to leave this earth. He knew God had spoken to him. He had already had a relationship with God, but God had kept his promise. And he had no fear of death. You know, this is what Jesus brings to any who will receive him. We don't have to fear. We can have that peace. The peace that only comes from Christ. And not only that, but also a purpose. We, like Simeon, can understand God's salvation, that he came to save us, that he came to help us to have a relationship with him and to walk with him. The question for each of us this morning is, how do I respond to that? Do you have that peace? And only you know. Do you have that peace that only Jesus can give? Because each year we come to Christmas and we hear about this baby Jesus, and we hear again that he claimed to be a savior, a light who came to show us God's way and path and salvation, the one who angels proclaimed, right, and shepherds came to worship, and wise men came to give gifts, and we hear the story again and again. But you know what? It's not enough, guys, to just hear the story. It's not enough just to know the story. It's something that we individually must respond to. To hear God's voice to you and your life, and allow this story to change your life, even as it's changed mine. You must decide for yourself who Jesus is. Look what Simeon says again, or not again, verse 34 and 35 says, "Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And a sword, Mary, will pierce your heart, your soul too.'" Simeon kind of gives, he says there's two options of how people are going to react to Jesus. One is going to be acceptance, the rising of many, receiving him. The other is rejection, the falling of many. You know, we see this throughout the Bible in different people. We see this, for instance, like Peter and Judas. Peter trusted Christ, put his faith in Jesus even after denying him. Judas rejected Christ, denied him. The two men on either side of the cross, they're on a cross as well, and Jesus in the middle. One who says to Jesus, "I believe." He says, "Remember me when you come into paradise." He put his faith in Christ as the Messiah. The other who cursed him and said, "He's just a man." One chooses faith, the other rejects. You and I have a choice as well. God gives us a choice. To receive this salvation, we must take Jesus into our arms, okay? Not necessarily as a baby, but to embrace him for who he is, into our hearts and into our lives. Simeon did this, and literally thousands, now millions of people have done that ever since, to put their faith and their trust, their life, into his arms. And their lives were changed forever. You know, this last year, we've seen Jesus change lives this last year. It's been awesome. A number of people have received Christ. We saw four people who were baptized just this last month as they proclaimed their faith and their trust in Christ. We had two adults, a teenager and a young person. And to see the lives being changed as kids are coming to Kingdom Kids and seeing some lives changed there, and to see our children, even as they're coming in, their lives being changed as they go to their classes. In our youth group, as they hear about Jesus, not just the nice baby story about baby Jesus, that's important, but about his salvation that he offers to us. That he offers to us. So the question is, how will you respond? Will we listen? Will we respond to the message of Jesus this Christmas? And the question is, how will you decide? My prayer is that you respond in faith. That you respond in faith rather than rejection. That you would know personally the salvation and the peace that he offers. You know, for those of you who have a relationship with Christ, which is probably many of you here, that you would be also like Simeon. That you would be right with God. That you would live a righteous life. Not perfect. Not high and mighty. That's not what we're talking about. Righteous means doing what is right. Seeking to follow God. To be devout. Will you seek to be like Simeon in your life? To live a life of devotion? May you and I be like Pat. Remember Pat, who we talked about at the beginning of the message? How he used his life. His life of love from Christ to love and serve others. Here in the U.S., but also all the way to kids without parents in Russia. As I said at the beginning of the message, Simeon, God spoke to Simeon. And I said, Simeon can speak to us today. God, for some of you, is using Simeon's story to speak to you. Are you willing to listen? To hear the salvation. What does Simeon say? I have seen salvation now with my own eyes. God spoke to Simeon. Salvation has come to the world. That's the theme of this morning. Salvation has come to the world. And his name is Jesus, a gift offered to you and me. What will you do with Jesus this Christmas? What will you personally do with Jesus this Christmas? What will you do with Jesus next week? What will you do with Jesus in 2018 as we begin a new year? I pray that like Pat and like that husband who came with his wife, whose God changed his life, that you will not only hear and not only receive, but also allow him to truly change your life. Allow him to come into your life and begin to transform you one day at a time to be the righteous, the right person with him. And that he would give you a purpose, even more, a purpose, whoa, a purpose and a peace that only God can give. That's his message for us this morning. That's his message for us every day. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you so much for this morning. And Lord, as we come here and about ready to light the candles in a few minutes, we talked about your light, that you are a light to us Gentiles. You've offered us salvation. You've offered us peace and a purpose, a meaning for this life. And obviously a greater purpose even to the next life. But Lord, I pray for each one here that we would take this story, this life of an obscure man named Simeon, and take the things that you taught him, that you showed him, and allow those to penetrate our hearts. So Lord, use us. Use those of us who know you to be light to those around us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.